Hello, friends, and welcome back to Dentistry Unmasked. My name is David Rice, and with myself, as always.
Hey, Pam Maragliano Muniz. I'm so thrilled for this week's episode. So, oh my gosh, I don't know. So every practice owner has to struggle with this. So I know I do. You know, even though we have a website, and they said websites are kind of antiquated, and you don't really need to have a website. It's really more about Google reviews and all these things out there. Like, we still pay for SEO and we still like can't let it go, because what happens if we let it go? Like, are we going to die and nobody's going to find us? And I don't know. So with us to kind of help really like cut through all the crap and give us the skinny on what's really important for us with marketing is Abe Casbo. Abe, welcome.
Thank you, Pam. Dave, I'm so excited to be here, and I can't wait to kind of delve into my favorite subject, which is marketing.
So let's just start with it. Why are we so afraid to drop SEO? And should we drop SEO, or should we like maybe do a little SEO? Like, what's like the right balance for a practice who is still always, and we should always be looking to grow and attract new patients?
Well, you know, I want to back that up a little bit and talk about SEO within sort of the grand scheme of things, right? So SEO is one portion of digital marketing. It is not the entire thing. And its relevancy over the last, certainly over the last 10 years, since mobile has really taken over, has really like it fell off the table. And we work in a lot of industries outside of dental, which have recognized this. For some reason, dental practices, including DSOs of all sizes, really, are still stuck on it, as you said. And I think it's sort of like fear of sort of losing that place. But here's the thing about that every dental practice needs to know. Internet, organic internet traffic, 65% of it is fake. And if you know how to read your Google Analytics, you're going to find that out very quickly. What marketing companies tend to do, especially digital marketing companies, they tend to produce these sort of dashboards. And by the way, like, dentistry is so full of dashboards, I can't even believe it, right? But on the marketing side, you know, they sort of show you like, oh, you know, here's the traffic. But the question is, who is coming to the website? Is it bots? Again, you know, 65% of internet traffic is fake, meaning that it's bot generated, and it's bot generated from the United States, not China or Russia. This isn't me speaking. Google what I'm saying. So if we look at SEO as part of an integrated plan, right, meaning that, like, what are we doing to on multiple fronts to put new patients in seats and also convince existing patients, right? You know, we talk about marketing and dentistry as if new patients are sort of the holy grail, but new patients are very expensive to get, and existing patients are much easier to quote unquote upsell our services to. And so you know, we think about growth as a zero-sum game from a new patient's perspective, and SEO is a sliver of what that entire equation is like. And I'll tell you right now, the data doesn't support SEO. So if you're paying for SEO, you want to think about why you're paying for it. You want to look at the actual conversions from the SEO, right? Because it's not about how many visits you get. Everybody knows that. It's about conversions. And then those conversions have to flip into the lifetime value of the patient. SEO is like a lease. If you lease a car forever, you're never going to stop paying for it ever, right? Because SEO companies are always going to come up with a reason. Hey, you know, this, your competitor just beat you here. Well, I want to be here. Well, I can just take those dollars and put it into SEM, right? And I can always beat that competitor because I control it. I control the dollars. I also control the terms. With SEO, you don't have control of the terms as much as you think you do. So it's very, very messy. And I do understand sort of the FOMO approach to this. But data says it's just not there. It's not there right now for dentists.
So tell us more about the backside of what you just said, the SEM side and pain.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, take a term like Invisalign, right? One, it's a known brand. Two, we know that if you look at Google Trends, for example, that people actually search for it. Okay. And if you're an Invisalign doctor or you know, clear aligner doctor, and there is a, I would hook on to that and I would pay for that term because once I get that patient, I can work to keep them. So that's just one example. You know, dentist near me is another very powerful term, extraordinarily powerful. I mean, that's, it's almost like all you need. And if you pay for that, you pay for, you know, that first space. Great. Now I want to make something else clear. Paying for it isn't the solve. Remember, marketing is about placement, creative, and frequency. So if you pay for it and your creative sucks, you suck. It sucked. You're just throwing money down the drain. So your creative can't suck. Here's the other thing where dentists absolutely fall on their face. They come to us all the time and we look at Google AdWords and SEM. And those aren't connected to very specific landing pages that are connected to the terms. But whatever service in dentistry, well, why not personalize it with a landing page, by the way, which Google requires for the SEM and the ads to actually perform? It really is staggering how many practices come to us where that's not the case. And I can't imagine the millions of dollars that are lost in dentistry. And I'm going to give you an example. And everybody can search for this if you'd like. And it's in my book. So about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, the CMO of Uber came out. And right before he resigned, said, folks, I'm sorry. I just lost $150 million on Google Ads. Now, Uber is what? It's a digital company, right? How does Uber, who's a digital company, who's supposed to know this stuff, lose $150 million on digital advertising? So the reason why I say that is because I think you have to be very humble in this business. Like I am extremely humble because I want to act as a fiduciary for my clients. I want to make sure that their money, we know there's tremendous waste, and we know that Google is not honorable. It just is not honorable in the way that it distributes those ads, right? And we know that, and anybody that's worked with Google knows that Google's going to call you and say, you know, the reason why the ad isn't working is because you need to put more money to the and literally every single time. And we know that that's not true because it's about adjusting the terms and adjusting the landing pages and really trying to figure out like what Google is trying to do. And that takes time and that takes dedication. In our business, there's a lot of set it and forget it. And we just like, that just not our gig.
So what is a dental practice to do? I feel like, all right, so you got to like pull back a little bit on your SEO. And obviously every practice is different in geography and all of those things. But would you share like your basic recipe for a secret sauce? Like, should we be, you know, say if should we be maybe using a percentage of what we bring in every month and put that towards marketing, and how do we best use those dollars?
That's a great question, Pam. I think to your point about geography, location, and time is absolutely well taken. So you know, people in Kansas City are going to think about this vastly different than in New York City or Portland, right? So in terms of budgeting for this, remember marketing, the function of marketing is to convince people to buy your products and ideas. That is the principal function of marketing. And so before we, what we do is before we go to the tactic of bringing people in, we have to make an assessment of what's going on, because your brand could be an issue. Your frequency could be an issue. Your creative could be an issue. So before you sort of make a decision about like where to invest and in what vehicle to invest and how to do that, we ask people to take a step back and literally, like, you know, when dentists first meet a new patient, what do? They sit down and they look at what's going on. They come up with a treatment plan, right? Well, when we ask our clients to do that, meaning to do a discovery and really understand what's going on, they're surprised. They're like, well, why would we do this? Because like, if you knew what you were doing, you would just come in and do it. And I would say, well, let's put it this way. American Express doesn't do this. Coca-Cola doesn't do this. Coca-Cola doesn't go out and say, hey, what do you know? You know, like, what do you know about selling sugar water? And, you know, just come in and implement a program, right? It doesn't matter if it's WPP, Saatchi and Saatchi, they all come in and they say, all right, what problem are we trying to solve? So let's identify that first, okay? So once you do that, then you can attack the issue, because if it's a brand issue and a creative issue, and you go out and spend money on buying ads, well, the stuff that's going to come back is going to be garbage. And then you're going to be frustrated, right? So all of this stuff has to align. Remember, branding, and in dental, this is the other thing that I don't understand, right? People like think about this like, oh, you know, we need to come up with a branding program. Ladies and gentlemen, it took Coca-Cola 40 years to become a brand. It took 35 years for Starbucks to become a brand, right? I mean, if you just think about those things, it is not a branding issue. It's how you treat people. It's how you bring them in. And it's that relationship that you have when they get into the chair side that you have with them. But you can't do it by going out by spraying and paying and hoping to bring these people in. You have got to develop a plan first and execute against that plan. Once you execute against that plan, you collect data, because stuff isn't going to work. Well, if the folks on the other side are honorable, they're going to work with you to make it work and make those adjustments. Now you have baseline data and you can execute against that.
What do you have to say? Okay. So say if you do like a Facebook marketing program, which I know a lot of people who have, I've even thrown money towards this, and it's been, for me personally, the biggest waste of money. And when you work with somebody who says, oh, I'll help you do that, you just keep giving them the same amount every month. They like take it and they act like you don't even need to be involved in any way. And then I'm told it's a marathon, not a sprint. And so just keep throwing money at this, and eventually somebody's going to show up in your practice as a result of this stupid ad. So what do you have to say about that?
I'm in the New York Times telling Mark Zuckerberg to basically go f*** himself. Okay. Listen. Here's the deal. So we use a lot of data from outside dental to help sort of educate the community. And I don't mean, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, but I am in the New York Times saying this is absolutely like ridiculous. Because it does a disservice, not just to dentistry, but small businesses. And I'll tell you why. The average engagement rate on, not the ads, we'll get to the ads, but I want to, right? The average engagement rate for an organic Facebook post. So like, Pam, you know, you go on, you're like, oh, you know, Dr. Pam has an opening today and, you know, we're going to give 10% off of whatever, right? That's just organic. That's an organic post, right? You put your picture on it. You're like this, right? Or, you know, like your dental assistant, or a picture of the sign, and everybody's really, really happy, right? Why don't you guys give me a number? What is the average organic engagement rate with that post? You guys give me a number.
Oh my gosh. I have no concept.
Just throw out like some kind of something. Throw it out.
Oh my gosh. All right. So like number of people that engage with
that engage in that post.
I would say, so they make it look like it's probably in the ballpark of 1,000.
Okay. So now give me the percentage of, you know, however many people, like give me a percentage of people that are actually engaged in that post. Like from your,
followers
on your Facebook page, how much, Dave?
Based on my volume of followers, you mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh God. 2%.
0.03.
Nice.
Okay. So let me explain what that means. Let's say you had 1,000 relevant people on relevant, and we know how hard it is to get relevancy into the space. It's certainly hard for us as a marketing company. And I'm really terrible at math, but if we had 1,000 people on your Facebook page, Dave, on your practice Facebook page, 0.03 is less than 0.5%.
Tough to get that one in, huh?
How? What are we doing? So that's on the organic side. And mind you, that Facebook purges 1 billion fake accounts a quarter, which contribute to anything that you do on the paid side, right? Because they have these bots, right? That's what it is. It's a self-perpetuating kind of thing. You pay them, and then you're like, you look at the analytics, you're like, well, like, who are these people? Like, okay, I know I did the whole, like, you know, I want it to be within 5 miles, and I want it to be this, and I want it to be that. But literally, like, who are these people? Like, why are people from Malaysia on here? You have no control over anything that you do on Facebook. And I want you to think about this from a psychological perspective. You're on Facebook because you want to see your friends and family and your network. I throw a dental ad in there. Oh yeah. Okay. Great. Let me click. I mean, like, seriously? Now, I'm not saying that there has not been success found there, but I would say that just like with medicine, right, or anything, it needs to be replicable. And believe it or not, direct mail is actually more effective than Facebook. Direct mail. We have numbers. So I apologize. I get very, very exercised about the whole Facebook thing because I just think that it's contributed, one, to a lot of confusion, two, dollars lost, as you mentioned, like, you know, you've tried it. And because we are psychologically connected to it, right? Like we are. They've created a great gig. It's tough to get off that crack, but it really is crack.
I like where we are. If 65% is of what we see out there is fake, and 0.03% is what we have control over. And I love that you went at Zuckerberg. So how does a dentist defend against every Facebook group in dentistry that's taking a check from 10 different marketers that are selling them SEO that doesn't work, Facebook ads that doesn't work, and stuff that doesn't work? Like, beyond the emotion, how do we arm them with more data that says just stop? The Facebook group that you're following is getting paid by these 10 people to say whatever the heck they want to say. It's not helping you.
Right. I think it's a mindset. And you know, when I speak, I actually, like, people ask me that. And I really think it's a mindset of, because it's not just dentistry, right? Like, I mean, we see it in healthcare. We work with banks, we work with government services. People want easy, and people want data, right? People want, like, oh, this is easy, and people want data, but it's vanity data, right? Like, you know, the number of likes. I mean, and I think we've gotten beyond that. I think people are recognizing that after 16 years of Facebook or since 2006, people are now like, oh, wait a minute, like, what does it mean that we have likes? Like, it doesn't matter. Okay. So we have to go back to basics and say marketing is a business problem. And also there is a sense of entitlement when I talk to certain dentists. Like, I get 30 new patients a month. Now, it's funny because that 30 new patients a month number is sort of like universal. I don't know like where people get 30 patients a month, but that number is like the number, right? And I'm like, okay, great. Can you show me, your, well, no, I can't show you. Well, you know, or it's a DSO. And I'm like, well, you know, does this practice truly, I mean, this is a rural practice. You think that this practice where the town only has like, you know, 4,000 people, they're getting 30 patients a month? We have to get real about our expectations from marketing, because marketing solves a business problem. The other thing that I see, Dave, and it just occurred, and it may not be directly addressing your question, is that once you gain scale as you know, and have multiple practices, and I don't care if you call it a DSO or whatever, you need marketing infrastructure, right? And sometimes dentists will look at their marketing as if they're trading stocks. Like, I put in this and I should get this. And again, I go back to, you know, our work in financial services. That's just not the way people look at it. There are certain things that you have to do for your brand, certain things that you have to do for, you know, where there's a real call to action. But if your brand is crap, your call to action is going to be a waste of time. So again, I want to go back to basics with everybody and then sort of build that baseline and then launch from that baseline. And by the way, your website is like a telephone. Your Facebook channel, it's a channel. And so you want to think about it as, how do I get relevant people into that channel? But it is very, very hard to do. You want to be a media company or do you want to be a dentist?
Yeah.
That's a great point. So it sounds to me that, like most things, and I mean, I always liken everything back to dentistry. I feel like it's the only real language I speak. And it's, you really need a plan, and you need an individualized plan for your practice, your location, your goals, and, you know, kind of what you're working with too. I think a lot of us want something, which, I mean, trust me, I would too. Something that's sort of turnkey that I could kind of fling a few dollars at per month and like not even think about it. And all of a sudden, poof, all of this, you know, success comes from it. So how does that work? So, I mean, people, you have a book coming out, so I feel like you could, can you share with us about your book, but also does that give us a license to do DIY marketing? Like what do we do?
Well, I think the digital stuff has helped, by the way, it's helped. It's net net, I think it's done some good, but a lot of bad, right? And we don't like to admit the bad. My book is called Irresponsibly Digital. It's coming out in May, and it actually delves into a lot of the issues that we just discussed. Answering your question about what we do, what you do is, you right now, the best thing to do is assess where you are and assess where you want to go. So, but we can't really control outside of 24 months. So what we do is we develop a 12-month integrated marketing plan. Because, by the way, you don't own anything on Facebook. Nothing. When Facebook goes down, what do? We put a lot of stock in email because email is six times more effective than social media. Okay. So that goes into the hopper. The branding stuff goes into the hopper. And then what happens is you come out with this sort of like very specific, this is what we're going to do to address this problem. So if we've identified the issue is language, it's a brand, your videos are terrible, we fix those before we spend money to go out. We do have to take a presence on social. I spend a lot of times beating up social because I need to kind of make it a point to counter the position that it's the end all and be all, right? However, it's still a very important part of the presentation of your practice. of the distribution of the message of your practice. But it is not here. It is here. I don't know if you can see that. It's not here. It's here.
I think it was appropriately placed.
Yeah. And then anything in between here is, it could be email. And email takes a lot of work because it's database marketing. People don't like to do that. People want easy. Well, again, six times more efficacy from email than social. But I would encourage to develop that email list. And yes, the reviews are part of that ecosystem. The speaking engagements. If you're a doctor, you're out there speaking, and then that goes back into your LinkedIn account. Absolutely part of that ecosystem. But that is not divorced from what you say about yourself and how you say it, right? Because that's your brand. So if your brand isn't developed and it isn't working in concert through every single channel, then what you're doing is you're dropping marketing bombs. Oh, I did this, it worked. I did it next week, it didn't work. Well, there's going to be a bunch of things that don't work because you're dealing with a behavioral, marketing is a behavioral science, right? I'm trying to convince you to buy, to come in and let me be your dentist, or, you know, let me care for you. So why should I do that? Well, you have to answer that. And you have to answer it in a way that speaks to your audience. And what we tend to do on the creative side is, because we do a lot of work in healthcare, and we've done a lot of research in healthcare, and the way that people choose dentists is actually the same, if not unlike the way that they choose a PCP, same exact way. And do you know who makes that decision? The chief mom officer, the CMO, right? So our language for our clients tend to skew female. It tends to be a little softer, right? And it's not like we're not speaking to males, but that's part of the brand. And it's part of the thinking that goes into brand and language development. Again, it works hand in hand with everything else.
I like it. So brand, we got placement, creative, consistency. Pam, I feel like I have more work to do.
I definitely have more work to do. Yeah, no, I'm missing the boat on several things. So Abe, thank you so much for joining us. We're almost out of time. So I'm going to ask you a question that I'm going to ask you to answer like super, super fast. And then if you're going to leave us hanging and wanting more, maybe you can tell us how to follow you. So first question, with a proper plan in place, when did dentists see an ROI on their marketing efforts?
Outside of 9 months. 100%. Let me back up. 85% of the time.
All right. Like it. And where can we learn more, and how do we follow you? And where do we find the book?
Well, the book's going to be at irresponsiblydigital.com, and the website's going up in a couple of weeks. So maybe by the time that this thing gets on, it'll be on. You could find me on LinkedIn. Just search for my name, and at verisoni.com.
Amazing. Excellent. Well, Abe, it's always great to chat with you. I always learn something, and I always have such a great time every time I'm with you. So congratulations on your book. Thank you so much for joining us. And David, you want to take it home?
Yeah, Abe, thanks for the data. I think that data helps drive our very best decision. It helps us as dentists, I think, unplug that emotion. So thanks for being here, friends. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Until next week, right? We're going to say next sayonara week for Dentistry Unmasked today. Cheers,
guys.
It's
an honor to be with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
I had a lot of fun.